Holy Word in the Hebrew Scriptures. We are now in the 17th chapter of the book of Exodus, the second book of the Torah. We'll read the first seven verses of that chapter. Remember that last week the Israelites grumbled against Moses because they were going hungry, and Moses said, "You're really grumbling against God, and you grumble against me." And so God blessed them with quail in the evening and manna in the morning, and for 40 years they lived in the wilderness eating quail and manna. But the story continues. The Israelite community set out from the desert of Sin, traveling from place to place as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. So they quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." And Moses replied, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you put the Lord to the test?" But the people were thirsty for water there, and they grumbled against Moses. They said, "Why did you bring us up out of Egypt to make us and our children and livestock die of thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What am I to do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord answered Moses, "Walk on ahead of the people. Take with you some of the elders of Israel, and take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will stand before you by the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink." So Moses did this in the sight of the elders of Israel, and he called the place Meshah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled, because they tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" And last week we read from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, and we are continuing into the second chapter, the first 13 verses. And so let us hear what Paul says. I think I've been doing it. I'm sorry. So, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not only look to your own interest. Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, in being considered equality with God, something to be grasped, made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And our gospel lesson today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. We only have a few more Sundays, really, to read from Matthew before we switch to Mark, and that would be the first Sunday of Advent, the last Sunday in November. But we are reading in the 21st chapter. We start at verse 23. We remember that Jesus has been teaching his disciples and the followers and all those who gather around him, and in many ways instructing the church as to how it should be after his death. Jesus entered the temple courts, and while he was teaching, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him. "By what authority are you doing these things?" they asked. "And who gave you this authority?" Jesus replied, "I will also ask you one question. If you answer me, I will tell you by what authority I am doing these things. John's baptism, where did it come from? Was it from heaven or from men?" They, as in the elders and the chief priests, discussed it among themselves and said, "If we say from heaven, he will ask, then why didn't you believe it? But if we say from man, we are afraid of the people, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We don't know." Then Jesus said, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work today in the vineyard.' 'I will not,' he answered, but later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. That son answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted?" "The first," they answered. Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him." Here ends our reading of God's holy word. Let us pray. Oh God, we ask that you bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts, that it might be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Did you ever say no, you wouldn't do something? Some of us, that takes great courage. No is not really a word in our vocabulary. You can't say yes to everything. Did you ever say no, you wouldn't do something? Do you remember way back when you were a kid? Teenager? Young adult? I can remember a lot of instances. I'm not going to bore you with my minor autobiography, but yeah, there was a lot of times I said, no, I wouldn't do something. Sometimes I got in trouble for it. I started learning new words like time out, grounded, restrictions. They took away the telephone from me. That was the worst thing they could ever do to me. Oh my gosh, it was horrible. Respect the authority of my parents. I learned to do that. Gentle though they were, you don't backtalk, my mom said. She considered telling her no, backtalking. But then I started learning that sometimes I said no to things, but then later on I figured out I really could do it. "We're going to go work cleaning up the house of one of the shut-ins at church. Can you come?" "No, too busy." But then the day would come and the things I was going to be too busy with I'd already done, or they got postponed or whatever, and I found myself able to go and clean windows, trim hedges, and scrub toilets for some of the members of our church who couldn't do those things themselves. It was a good youth group, it was. Felt good. To make a choice. Do you ever do things like that? "No, I can't work the Black Friday Saturday," but then all of a sudden you can show up at the shoebox, sell the rocks. What about the other way? Have you ever said yes, you'd do something and then you really didn't? I remember when I was serving a large church, long time ago, and I was full-time pastor, there were people who said, yeah, they'd be on this committee, yeah, they'd be on that board, yeah, they'd teach Sunday school, and they never showed up. Here we were counting on them. needed to make decisions for the church, needed to have kids be taught, needed to have people in the choir. They came to rehearsal, but they didn't come on Sunday to sing the anthem. You know, all of a sudden that bass part was missing because there was that one guy that could sing bass. I don't know, maybe you've known some people like that in your life. They don't sound like big things, do they? Earth-changing things. And yet, we're asked all the time by our heavenly Creator to do things. Sometimes we say yes and we do them, praise be. Sometimes we say yes and we don't do them. And sometimes we say no, that's going to be too hard. I can't. And then we're able to figure out a way to make it happen. To live our life according to the will of our Creator. The thing that I found amazing in this parable is that Jesus doesn't tell us what our punishment's going to be, or that there is even punishment at all. And we know that we've been reading Matthew all this year. We've heard a lot about wailing and gnashing of teeth and outer darknesses. So he does talk about punishment when people do certain things, but in this parable he does not. Talking about the grace of God. That God doesn't take what our mouths say as much as God takes what we do. And he uses that as a measuring stick. Those who perhaps haven't been doing quite the best job that come to know Jesus, come to know God, come to say yes by doing the hard work of changing the way they live their life and their worldview and taking the ministry and mission of God out into the world, they get to go first into the kingdom of heaven. Other people, they get to go in too. They just don't get to go first. It's the grace. The beauty of it all. The challenge to the institution of the church, us, the body of Christ, is that are we like the chief priests and the elders who are full of our righteousness, saying yes, praising God, and then not living it? Drawing lines, marginalizing people, throwing them out, not including them, saying they don't get to be part of it? Think about that. It's clear what their agenda is, and it's themselves and their own power. That little conversation they had after Jesus asked them, from whose authority did John baptize? I'm sorry, I have a little stinging bug here. He keeps distracting me. I'll just invite him over there. He'll go bother some of you, sorry. They're there and they're talking and they're going like, okay, we don't really believe that John was a prophet. We don't believe that John's authority was from God. We don't believe that his message was holy because our message is so different. Because his message took away our power and our authority. And we don't want to agree to it. But likewise, we don't want to come out against the people because we realize that all the people were on John's side and they saw the word of God happening. So then they might come after us and we might lose our authority and power and our position. So we don't want to speak our truth and we don't want to speak an opposing truth. We just kind of like life the way it is and we'll just all go on being happy, right? We keep our jobs. The paycheck keeps coming in. We don't say anything. But that's not what happened, is it? Jesus challenged him. He says, yeah, but look, these people that you say aren't worth having as part of the community, those tax collectors, You're embedded with the Romans, the prostitutes, the marginalized, the people of no voice, the people who are outcasts, the people whom you discount and don't let in. They heard the message and they opened their hearts to the love of God. And they repented and they changed the way they live. They are the ones who are doing the will of the Father. And they get to go first into the kingdom of heaven. And so the challenge then to the church is, sometimes when we look through our church history, the last hundreds and hundreds of years, sometimes we get too interested in maintaining our righteousness. We stop doing the will of the Father. Sometimes in our own lives, maybe that happens too. Not every day, just piece by piece by piece. And that's why I love this parable so much. I loved it when I was a teenager because it gave me hope for saying no and yet being able to come through with it. I didn't feel the punishment. But now that I'm older, I love it because it shows the amazing grace of God. There's no punishment in this parable. Just that those who converted, those who changed, those who believed, those who worked to be part of God's kingdom get to go in first. And then the rest go. No matter what we do on a daily basis, God pours out mercy, offers forgiveness, and blesses us with grace. How loved we are. How absolutely loved we are. May we have the courage to be servants in God's realm.